her heart. She seems great. And welcome to Hip and Humble.
That wasn't nice. Welcome, folks. My son's being a pill tonight.
Welcome to Hip and Humble Podcast. I'm Aram.
Strap in those chairs.
I'm Aram.
And I'm Mom.
And we want to welcome you to our show. We talk about all things antique and collectibles. Before we get started, we want to thank our sponsor, Hip and Humble Antiques, LLC, with 3 locations, 2 in Virginia and 1 in Oklahoma City. Of course, for those of you that are not all about driving, we have a flourishing Etsy store. And when you have time, please go and check us out. And if we don't have anything that tickles your fancy at the moment, I promise we will soon.
Yep, that's very true, because I have been snapping pictures like a mad woman.
Like
and by
a
the
mad
way,
woman.
Check all the pictures all the time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Whenever you go online for anything, but especially antiques and collectibles, please check all the pictures. We pride ourselves. We really try to make sure and get all of the angles of every item that we put up there so that we can make sure and get you guys exactly what you're looking at.
And, you know, you try to do descriptions and stuff, but, you know, sometimes you're going to see something I don't see, or I see something you don't see.
Exactly.
So it's really, you really do have to look closely at the pictures. Do your little fingers where you like make it bigger on your phone so that way you can get in there and look at whatever it is you're looking at.
We also want to thank.
I got some great bottles on this time.
Oh, yeah. We got some really cool bottles.
A lot of cool perfume bottles.
A lot of really interesting glass pieces lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're into collecting glass bottles or just old bottles, or maybe you need to do a period scene for a movie set, they would be fantastic.
Just for the record, really quick before we get in there, there are dug bottles, D-U-G, like dug out of the ground, literally dug out of the ground. And a lot of the bottles that we have on there, I try to specify they're dug bottles because there are people that do collect them with the dirt still in the bottles.
Yep.
So I don't clean any of the bottles because, I don't know, maybe you're one of those people. I want you to have your dirt if you want your dirt.
Yeah. Also, if you are not one of those people but you want the bottle, they are very easy to clean.
Yeah, they're very easy to clean.
They're just glass bottles.
Stick them in a sink with some soap water.
Mm-hmm. We also want to thank the Going Solo Network for partnering with us and putting us on their network. All of you guys that are listening through there, we just want to thank you so much for supporting us and also supporting the Going Solo Network. We are really grateful. And we're glad to be a part of the network. And
what an awesome name too, Going Solo. I like that.
Yeah, it's really great. In this episode, we're going to talk about, we're actually expanding on our theme so far. So our theme of radio. We're going to begin speaking about some of the most famous radio brands from the golden age of radio. The golden age of radio was actually from the 20s to the 50s.
I wasn't alive then, just letting you know.
I know you weren't. You're very young. Probably, 29?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, new technology is taking over. A new phone from last year could at this point be considered ancient. You know, just with the rate that technology is expanding. Features on social media websites are getting more complex and diverse every day. The way we intake and project information is fast, efficient, and it is changing every day so rapidly.
It really does.
Yeah, no, it really does. I generally argue that communication, music, and other mass marketed media are becoming less and less personal. I would also argue that radio is a defining catalyst for mass media and communication, especially what we have today. When radio was most popular, families would sit around radios and listen to songs, shows, and news updates together, until television sets took over radio as one of the main sources of information for most people. It became an integral part of our culture and society. I mean, Winston Churchill broadcast his speeches over the radio. Radio's golden age is generally agreed, like I said before, to be between the 1920s and the 1950s. Radios have never gone away, though. They're still an integral part of our lives. I remember one of the first times I thought about a radio as essential was one of the first times we were prepping for a tornado. And you had told me to make sure and grab a radio.
Yep. You always grab a radio. And just so you know, I'm from Oklahoma originally, been through the tornadoes, all of that. Make sure you got a good pair of shoes on. Make sure that you got your purse, wallet, whatever personal papers. Make sure you absolutely have something on your person that has your address on it. Because if you go into martial law, they will not let you in unless you can prove you live there, and you don't want to have to wait for the city to do that.
No.
But you need a radio. Yeah. A battery-powered radio, because that's how you're going to find out if you're okay or not.
Yeah, or who's around you, or
who's
what.
Around, or what's going on.
Yep. Yeah, because all of the emergency broadcasts and everything like that,
all of that. So they all come computer, out through the radio. Your internet and all that stuff goes poop. The radio still works.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now I guess we do have the benefit of having telephones with cell service now.
So I mean, your cell phone. Tower blows away.
This is true. Cell towers can and do blow away.
That's true. Tornadoes are pretty wicked.
They are hefty forces of nature.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Of course, most forces of nature are going to destroy everything, but you know.
Pretty hefty, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
But you need a radio. You always need a radio. You need a battery-powered radio. I don't know about those crank ones. Have you seen the crank ones?
I've seen them.
I think that just takes way too much.
It's a lot of effort.
It really does.
It's a lot of effort. Just get a battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shoes are integral to surviving after the tornado. I remember that we actually, here in Virginia, we had a tornado when I was in high school. And
not too long after we moved here. We PCS'd here. And there was a tornado, and they're like, "You're from Oklahoma. I can't believe you brought the tornado." And it's like,
yeah, that's not me.
That wasn't me.
No, definitely not. But I remember that night, I was not wearing shoes, and I ran to a Hannah Meyer's house without shoes on to make sure everybody was okay. And everybody everybody was just shaking their head at me, like, "Why you don't have shoes on?" Blah 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 blah.
I was like, "That he's had his shot." So
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He'll just be picking glass out of his feet and insulation, fiberglass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thankfully, I didn't get anything in my feet.
You really need to, because I know I went through a tornado in Stillwater when I was in college there and was walking around. I had on Ked tennis shoes from Walmart and stepped on a nail, went right through my shoe, right into my foot. And I just reached down, pulled it out, and I was like, "God, you just know I can't handle this." It was fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So, we're talking today about the different brands of radios.
Radios are useful.
There's so much on this topic. I'm really glad that we made it a theme, because it's funny, as I'm researching it continually, I'm finding, like, more and more, like, crazy cool stories that have do with radio. And one of the brands that there's a couple different brands we're going to focus on today, but RCA was actually the first largely successful commercial radio. And they were founded as the Radio Corporation of America in 1919.
It's pretty old.
Mm-hmm. They're one of the oldest and most well-known brands in consumer electronics industry. My
papa would have been 9 years old.
Wow.
He was born in 1910.
1910. What was Meemaw born in? Was she born in
1907?
Oh, I was going to say 08, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they...
In Indian Territory.
Yeah, that's right. And she was on the Trail of Tears.
No, it was before that.
Oh, yeah, right.
We'll do a history lesson on that later.
Mm-hmm. The RCA, the company, they were a major electronics company, and they existed from 1919 to 1986. They first moved to consumer electronics in 1929, so right in the middle of the Great Depression.
I think that was my Uncle Lonnie was born in 1928.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. They purchased the Victor Talking Machine Company, which was a company that was founded in the late 1800s that progressed Victor. What was it?
Victor Victrola.
He developed one of the first hand cranked phonographs.
Yep.
Yeah. His life was crazy. And if you guys have time, definitely look up Victor Victrola's life.
That's probably where the hand crank radios come back in.
Mm-hmm.
They just went back and, hey, look, they used to hand crank the radio back then. Let's see if we can keep doing that.
Yeah. Well, that back then with the phonographs, it propelled the record around.
They got the idea.
No, because now it just generates electricity whenever you do that. That's what that's for.
Same hand motion.
Okay. But the Victor talk.
Did I mention my son's being a pill tonight?
Oh my goodness.
He's like trying not to understand things.
I'm not trying to understand things. I'm trying to clarify things for people.
Uh-huh. Okay, tell me about the dog.
Oh my goodness. So, earlier today we talked about there's a really famous logo, and that was actually the Victor Talking Machine Company's logo. And, Victor Petroli, he had a really cool dog named Nipper.
Nipper.
He called him Nipper because he used to nip around your heels. And his dog, they painted a picture of his dog with his face inside of a phonograph, and that was Nipper.
That's a
Nipper or man's best friend. And gramophone. That's what he was looking into. It was called a gramophone. I'm saying it wrong the whole time. Not a phonograph. Excuse me. A gramophone. But yeah, he was looking at the dog. His name is Nipper. He was looking into the gramophone, and that was the logo. And whenever RCA bought the company, they also bought the rights to that logo, and they used it for many, many years. RCA is also a really cool company. They invented color television, the electron microscope, CMOS technology, which for those of you in the tech world, that's computer batteries and so on. They invented LCDs, video cassette recorders, HDTV, and a lot of other things. They were very innovative. They employed a lot of very innovative people. In 1939, at the New York's World Fair, they presented the first all-electric television. And that is... What is that? That's Angus.
Angus snuck down here. Thank you. Angus snuck down here because Catherine was very nice to bring me my sweater because it's cold in the basement.
It is cold.
And Angus snuck down here and then...
He decided it was done.
He's like, oh, I hear stuff upstairs. I better go look at it. But he can't, you know, open doors. So.
Oddly enough, his thumbs are just not what they used to be.
Yep. He's a little Shih Tzu Bichon, so he's a little...
Teeny tiny.
Yeah, teeny tiny. Not teeny teeny, but...
You know. He's like 12 pounds. That's small. I think one of my cats is bigger than him.
Well, he's probably 15 pounds.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Anyway.
Anyway, so...
Angus is a cutie.
We talked about the different technology fairs last week and how they were really, you know, they're incredible. I mean, they still are incredible, but if you think about the progression of technology back then versus the progression of technology today. We're talking about earlier, you know, the progression of technology today is so vast in such a short amount of time, it's almost expected. You know?
True.
You know, it's like you see, you know, facial recognition technology or, you know, eye scanners, and then the next week they're like, oh yeah, well we can tell it's you by the way that you breathe, so you don't have to ever enter a password again and all this. It's like, wow, you know. But at the same time,
it's a little spooky, but
at the same time, it's almost commonplace to see it expand or so rapidly. Whereas back then, you know, in the late 1800s, they were just discovering that radio waves could be transmitted through the air, and then 30 years later, you know, they were broadcasting to the world, and that was the first. I mean, and that was the first time that people in one nation could all hear the same thing at the same time.
True.
You know,
and that's, you know, in England, like Winston Churchill would give his address, but that's also how the king would address the people and the queen eventually, and here too.
Absolutely, that's how. I mean, the president still does his State of the Union address via both the television and radio.
Well, but he does now.
Yeah.
So used to, all he had to do is mail in a letter. Now it's, you know, a whole big circus.
Right.
So.
Yeah, circus is a good word for it.
Yeah. Every year. Since I was born.
In 1919, back on the RCA, all radio and telegraphic communications between China and the U.S., including official communications, were actually run through a German radio or British cables. And the U.S. Navy wanted RCA to seek concessions in China. They were pretty reluctant to do it, but because they did concede, because it is, you know, the government, and they're pretty pushy.
Oh, yeah.
They were one of the first companies to expand internationally, and their technology was used as a transmitter in 1928 between, or internationally between militaries.
Yeah, I say they're an incredibly integral part of the military. Still are a very integral part of the military.
Oh yeah, one of the other brands we're talking about is was the brand that we're going to talk about is was the brand that made it so that soldiers could talk to each other on the front line.
Yeah. I mean, the code talkers though.
Mm. Oh
that,
yeah,
that's like a whole thing there. I mean, that was just amazing.
That was incredible.
It really was.
Yeah, the Navajo.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you guys have a chance, there's actually a movie out on the...
Or you can read a book.
Yes, you can also read a book. And that would definitely be more informative and a little more intricate. There's a lot more details that you would get. However, the movie is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
If you would like to. And it's, I mean, it's dramatized, of course, because...
Well, everything.
It is what it is. But it's a very good movie.
Yeah. But, I mean, the radio was very integral in there. And then you get into, you know, you go from the radio as far as the movies and stuff go to the Enigma machine that would telegraph different, you know, whatever messages and stuff like that.
The they Enigma had the, machine, what's that?
The Enigma. You didn't look that up?
I did not see
it. It's
that.
A machine that they would code their messages with, and it was supposed to be completely unbreakable.
Oh, wow.
So whenever people, you know, say, oh, that's an Enigma, they're talking about this machine that, you know, they would type whatever their message was in there, and the machine would spin its little dials, and it would come out some kind of gobbledygook on the other end, and that person would take its... their Enigma, I can't say the word, folks, so sorry, machine, to translate it.
Oh, wow.
So, and I mean, the Americans, it was like a big thing trying to figure all this out, because the Germans had it, and they're like, couldn't figure out where the Germans were going and coming and all this kind of stuff. What is that? Well, you know what? There's another movie you can watch. I think it's The Theory of Everything, maybe?
The Theory of Everything. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where... the guy goes in, you know, they have him go in and, you know, try to break the machine to figure out the code, try to break the code on the machine.
Yep.
And eventually he did and saved lots and lots of lives.
That's really cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of A Beautiful Mind.
Maybe that was it.
That might be it.
That might be it.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful Mind. Yeah, Russell Crowe is the main character, and he is a code breaker. He has schizophrenia, so it's a really sad movie, but I won't spoil it, but his job is a code breaker, and he's very, very good at it. And I definitely think that you should watch it.
Yeah.
RCA, on top of the stuff that they did with the military, in the commercial world, Victor Vitrola's gramophone. I almost said phonograph again. Gramophone. He developed it as a crank. So basically, like I was saying before, where I was comparing it to the hand crank radios of today. Basically, it would wind up a wheel underneath, and that wind would then after you wound it a couple of times, then that wind would propel itself so that it would move the record around on the gramophone, and then that would push through the...
I just looked it up, just so everybody knows, it's called The Imitation Game.
The Imitation Game, the movie. Yeah, guys, definitely look up The Imitation Game. Beautiful Mind is also a great movie, and it's a similar topic, but evidently not about that specifically.
Well, no, this particular machine, it was The Imitation Game.
Ah.
Of course, it's got other stuff, but it was neat.
Very cool. But
it has Sherlock, the
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yep. Yes, he was in it. Oh, that makes sense. I could see him playing a role like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, go back.
But back to what I was talking about, the RCA developed with Victor Vitrola. They basically expounded upon his machine and then made the phonograph all electric. They were the first ones to make it all electric. And it sold originally in 1930, and it was really famous because of Victor Vitrola, and of course they named it the Vitrola. But the story of Victor's emergence as the giant in the phonograph industry, like I was saying before, if you guys have time to read his story, it is crazy, because whenever phonographs were first starting to come out, there wasn't a lot of clarity on patents and copyrights because it was such a new industry. Right. And so people were throwing out patents and it was getting denied by the patent office left and right.
Well, that's because they didn't have somebody on a board that they had to create the board so that those people could write the rules for that patent.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes 10 years just to pick the board.
Yeah. Bureaucracy is a nightmare, people.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but without and I would argue without bureaucracy, or if they had the bureaucracy, then we would still have gramophones today.
Aaron will argue anything.
Because I doubt that they would.
Two snails race, and he's going to argue about it.
That's true. Yep. That's true. I will argue which one will win, and I would probably be right, but it's fine. Yeah. No,
you're
but
right, or he'll twist it around to where he thinks he's right.
Oh, that's hurtful.
Aw. Band-aid?
No, I don't want a Band-Aid, thank
you.
Get you a Band-Aid. Oh, my goodness.
Run up there and grab one.
Yeah, but back in the day, whenever gramophones were first coming about, there was so much backstabbing, and the industry was so cutthroat because people, like I said, couldn't get patents and copyrights, or at least when they would try to get them, they wouldn't stick. And so,
espionage.
Yeah, there were lawsuits going back and forth all the way into the 50s and 60s from the era whenever gramophones.
Intellectual property.
Yeah, intellectual property rights. That was a huge era and a huge example of what not to do.
There's a lot of examples of what not to do.
With intellectual property rights. But yeah, some of the people, the business, at least on the business side, that propelled him were Berliner and Elridge Johnson. Oh, what was it? I can't remember the first name. But Elridge Johnson, he owned a small machine shop in Camden. And, in New Jersey. And because of all the mess with the patents and so on and so forth, he actually packed up and left and went to Canada and took Victor Petrola with them, and then they ended up dominating the industry, because once they got out of New York and got out of all that mess with all the patents and the copyrights, they were doing a lot of the patenting and stuff in New York.
So. It's amazing though, because I bet they had better roads back then.
Probably.
New Jersey Turnpike, not fun, folks.
Garbage.
Horrible place.
Absolute garbage.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But I bet it was easier in Canada.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To be able to get... I guess Canadians have patents.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought about it.
Yeah, they do. You can get patents in Canada. You can get patents everywhere.
Well, I know, but, guess I was just thinking of being here, but...
Yeah.
I guess it probably is easier in other countries. Just never thought about it.
Yeah, because whenever they were seeking those patents, whenever all this was happening... phonographs, they were terrible. They were really, really bad. You couldn't get them to stay on. They had really terrible sound. And so Victor's was the first one that was actually good. You know, you could actually hear a whole song the whole way through.
Yeah.
And you could hear it clearly. So, but in 1901, they were considered these crude novelties, like basically like, you know, you'd have it as a joke or something funny, like, oh, let's put on the gramophone, and you know, you'd hear like all these weird sounds and stuff. But
it'd be like, you know, when they used to say, if you play the record, well, you don't know because they didn't grow up with records. So you play the record backwards, and you can hear the secret messages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have heard that.
Well, yeah, but now it's a novelty.
Yeah, now it is a novelty, and back then it was a novelty until 1916, whenever they perfected it.
This was in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm talking about the 1916, not the 80s.
They didn't play their records backwards then. They didn't have records.
They did have records.
Not like we did.
Yeah.
AC/DC was not there.
Okay, the songs were different. The records were there.
Oh, I wish you guys could see his face, because sometimes it's just really priceless.
Oh, my goodness.
He says his face like, I'll kill you, mother. One day I will.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break.
He needs a break. my son's so funny.
Oh, my goodness. And And thank you guys so much for tuning in with us. If you're tuning in on the Going Solo Network, we just want to thank you so much for listening and supporting us. It means so much. We have such a fun time doing this, and we're so happy that you get to, we get to share this with you, and you get to share this with us, and we hope that you enjoy it. I mean, we're pretty sure you do. I mean,
Mom, I think you do. I think you should. I do. It's, yeah. You know, it's fun.
It's fun. It's definitely a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we just have a ton of fun, and we're really excited and thankful.
And we just kid with each other. I love my kid.
Yeah, and I love my mom. And if you guys aren't following us on Instagram, please go ahead and follow us there. That's HIPN period humble, HIPN dot humble Instagram. So on Instagram, we post every day. We have some running stories with a lot that we constantly post with updated stock and products, things that we put on Etsy, and things we have in our stores, as well as updates for the podcast and different contests or contests in the comments of our posts that we come up with, so you guys can get some ideas of what you guys want to listen to and hear in future episodes. Also, if you guys really like what we do and want us to continue with the podcast, please think about donating to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/hipandhumble. We'll definitely start offering different incentives and cool stuff for our Patreon members. We just want to thank you and thank our sponsor, Hip and Humble LLC. Now, back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Regularly scheduled programming.
So this week we kind of dropped the ball. I totally forgot about
our weird find. You know what? Let's just look around the room because there's some fun stuff in here.
There is some fun stuff in here.
You know, I go to auctions and different things, and sometimes you buy a piece of furniture and you think you're buying the furniture, but then you open the drawer and all kinds of stuff are in these drawers. And you know what, folks, just leave the stuff in the drawers because I enjoy finding it.
It's like a little treasure hunt.
It's like a surprise. It's like when you find 20 bucks in the pants that you didn't wear since last winter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the best. Yeah. That's like Christmas morning.
It kind of is a little bit. Yeah. But I opened up the drawer, and there's these two baggies. One, it has yellow with black dots, like a little circle, yellow with black dot. The other one is kind of a brown, amber color with a black dot. Yeah, I finally figured out what these little suckers are. They're bear eyeballs.
for stuffed bears.
Stuffed bear.
Yeah.
So somebody apparently did not make all the bears, because I have the eyeballs right here. So, but it was like two bags of bear eyeballs, or I guess it could be a cat too, or some sort of stuffed animal eyeballs. But I really hadn't given it any thought. Whenever you buy a stuffed animal, you know, you feel the little things and they're hard eyeballs. And it's like, well, okay. Well, they're like screws. So I guess you put it in there,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't really researched it, but you stick it in there and then the little back part, which this one has the back parts in it, kind of like screws up onto the eyeball to hold it in the place.
Huh. So it's kind of like you put it through the fabric and then you have a fastener on the other side to hold it in place.
But yeah, that was kind of a, you know, I've had these little bags sitting here for quite a while, and it's kind of like I'm not real sure what to do with two bags of, you know,
eyeballs.
So it was a weird find, but it was a fun find.
That is pretty fun. That's a great weird find of the week.
It is. So yeah, I'll have Aaron take a bunch of pictures of the eyeballs and put them on the Instagram so you guys can see what they look like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty weird.
Unless you don't want that mystery popped for you. I don't want to pop any bubbles for anybody that, you know, wants to live with the, you know, thought that maybe the bear really is looking at you, or, you know, I don't want to mess anybody up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know,
but yeah, that, so that, that is our weird find. That is
a weird find.
That is quite a, that's quite a good one.
It's pretty cool though. But yeah, you really have no idea when you buy something, what you're going to find. No. Anything that's a container, furniture, boxes, you name it. And then even a lot of the auction lots and stuff, people will just like throw stuff in the box. It's like you buy one thing and then they'll just throw other stuff in there.
So oh, yeah. It's like a mystery. Well, if you think about it, I mean, any of y'all that have ever moved around, we being a military family, we moved around all the time. And it was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm super grateful for it. But one of the things you notice whenever you move around a bunch is whenever you have furniture pieces that you'll clear out the different furniture throughout the before you move, so you can put what you need in boxes, right. Throw stuff out, and so on and so forth. But you notice that every time it's funny because every time you get to the new place, you take out that furniture. There's always something still in there. Some little things still in there, like maybe a button
or
whatever, pins, things like that. Just little things that you didn't grab or didn't throw out whenever you were moving. So if you think about it, a lot of the older pieces that we get and, older containers, a lot of people sell and collect the containers or the furniture. But over, 100 years... Whenever it's moving around a lot.
These eyeballs are 100 years old.
No. But I'm saying that the furniture and things we get over 100 years, a lot of stuff goes in and out of those drawers.
That's true.
And, you just don't always clear everything out.
That's true.
So they're really cool. We found actually a stamp, an Eisenhower stamp. It was a Woodrow Wilson stamp.
Yeah.
In one of the desks that we picked up. It was a desk. It was a Victorian-style desk, mid-century.
My mom had a piano whenever she was a girl. My grandparents had got her a piano to learn the piano. Had this piano forever. And I think we moved it one time, and there was a black and white picture that fell out of it. Oh, we have no idea who it is, no idea where it came from. I don't even know where my grandparents got the piano. I mean, I don't know if they bought it new or they bought it from somebody or I don't know. But we had that picture for the longest time. It's like, with no clue. Not a clue. So you never know.
You never do know.
Being there for forever. I mean,
it could have been. Probably isn't. But it could have been from the Howard Radio Company.
It could have been. Probably, I doubt it.
Probably isn't, but it could have been from a Howard Radio Company. The Howard Radio Company was another really cool and really prominent radio company, radio manufacturing company from the golden age of radio. Now, if you guys are listening, I'm going to make a post, but there are the different radio broadcasters that came out of this era that I would love to talk about because as I was going through reading the different histories on the radio manufacturers, the broadcasting companies that were there, their histories are tumultuous.
Yes.
And spicy. So if you guys want to hear about that, I'll make a post. Please let us know. I would love to talk on that. There's not as many material items to go with it, so it's not as much antique history as it is cultural history. So it's a little off the path of what we normally do, but I think it'd be cool to talk about.
Well, you could swing it around in a very, very, very broad way and look at it from somewhat of a material aspect because they would use all kinds of things for their special effects.
Oh, that's very true.
Very true. All very, the special effects. True. So there were bells.
Well, let's not give it away. Let's not give it away. So if we're going to talk about it.
I mean, there's a lot of special effects.
There's a lot. So back to the Howard Radio Company, though. The Howard Radio Company, it was founded in 1918. Yeah, they involved they were involved in radio manufacturing actually before commercial radio broadcast. So a lot of the larger manufacturers, obviously, during the golden age of radio, a lot of radio manufacturers came into the limelight because there was such a high demand for radios. I mean, there was a radio in every home. Like I said earlier, the families would sit in their living room around radios and listen to the news or listen to radio shows. If you guys go on, actually on Wikipedia, there is a huge list from A to Z of all the radio shows that they had. They call them old timey radio shows.
But a lot of people still could not afford that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was not a radio in every home because, it's a Great Depression era, and people just flat out did not have the money.
Yeah.
So a lot of times different businesses, like back to the barbershop, and different would have the radios on, and people would, be able to listen.
And stuff in the businesses, yeah.
Different businesses might have them on. So that was kind of a draw to get people in their door.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was good for the other people people that could not afford to have the radios.
Yeah.
So they were still, you know, in businesses or establishments getting the goods that they needed to get or what they could get, because, you know, this is the Depression era. So, you know,
yeah. And because there were not a lot of extras. Because it was the Depression era, there are a lot of radios that were made that were very, very cheaply made. And as cheaply as they possibly could. And Howard Radio Company actually stood out from a lot of the other brands. One, because, like I said, they were involved in radio manufacturing before commercial radio broadcasts, but they also built their brand around quality. They have some of the radios, well, a lot of the radios that they made are still available till today. They're very highly collectible. And they're sold now from anywhere between $70 and $900 for one of these radios.
I don't think we have any.
We don't have any Howard radios, but I would definitely.
We do have a couple radios.
We do have some radios. And we have some shortwave radios. We have a recording device from the late 70s, early 80s, and we have some shortwave stereos from the 70s.
I know I have one at the downtown store, downtown Fredericksburg store, but I'm not sure what brand it is, tell you the truth, but it's just like a little box, and it has the dials on it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not a, you know, it's a radio, but it's more of the kind that you would find in a home.
Right.
I don't think it works. So a lot of this stuff, you know, we sell and it doesn't necessarily work because, you know, you can put the effort into it and spend $5 more or whatever it is to fix a few of these things if you want to actually use them rather than them being just
a display piece.
Display piece.
Or a conversation piece.
Yeah, a conversation piece.
Now, the other radios that we do have and the recorders and things like that I was talking about, those all do work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is just one.
Yeah.
But it's a neat little piece.
Oh, most definitely.
It'd be great in like an office.
Oh, for sure.
It'd be really cool.
It'd be super cool. The Howard Radio Company, speaking about the knobs on that radio, they were the first one. They developed a five tube Nutridyne. That was their main sell or their main product that propelled them into commercial success. They were definitely iconic because of that particular piece.
So I wonder if they had a lot of commercials.
No, actually. And that segues perfectly into the last manufacturer that we're going to talk about, which is Motorola.
Motorola.
Motorola was actually a U.S. company. They were founded in the U.S. in 1928 by Paul V. Galvin and his brother Joseph. They founded the company by incorporating the Galvin Manufacturing Corporation in Chicago, Illinois. They were famous for the first commercially successful car radios.
Woo-hoo,
in 1930s.
Radios.
They also became an international seller in 1930. In 1937, Motorola entered into the home entertainment industry. In 1938, they had the first national advertising series. They had the first nationally broadcast advertising campaign.
Wow.
Yeah. They were that was
what they campaign. Do you know?
Yeah, radios. They're radios.
Oh, I thought it would be like, you know, toothpaste or something.
No, they advertised.
Just promoted themselves.
They promoted themselves. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody's got to do it.
In 1939, they introduced the two-way AM radio equipment, and that is what was used in the Vietnam War.
Awesome.
The World War I and the Vietnam War, actually. So Motorola is the reason that
a
lot of. Excuse me, World War II. You are correct. Motorola is what the soldiers used to talk to each other on the front lines, to call in medics and so on and so forth. All of those scenes in movies where you see people yelling into a radio, a medic, those were all Motorolas.
Cool.
Yeah. They in 1946, they had the first car telephone. In 1955, they had the first pager. In 1966, they had a pocket television.
Pocket television.
Yeah, they called it the Tiny Tim TV. It was a 1.5 inch screen.
That's awesome.
Yeah. In 1969, their equipment was used to transmit the first words from the moon.
Really?
Motorola is the reason that we heard Neil Armstrong say this one small step for man, or one small step for man. And one large leap for mankind. I'm butchering it.
Aram is going butchering to be it. Doing a history lesson later with his mom. We're doing a little homeschooling.
One small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. Okay? It just took me a second.
Okay, sweetie.
Oh, and in 73, they were the first company to demonstrate portable cellular talking.
Yep. Yeah. I think that was one of the first cell phones I had was a Motorola.
Well, they were the first company to ever demonstrate that cellular phones were.
But I remember when they had, like, car phones, I don't know, back in the 70s and stuff, and they were not, they were huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, they were, like, big. I'm like, okay, you had to kind of have, like, a little sidecar to carry your phone with you.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty big things. So.
Yeah.
And I think now all of us pretty much have a little Tiny Tim TV in our back pockets.
Yeah. Well, and a cellular device.
And
a
cellular device.
And two-way radio.
And a two-way radio.
It's all those things rolled up into
That's
one.
That's right.
Yeah. But a lot of fun.
I'm going to call mine the Tiny Tim TV, though.
You're calling it yours the Tiny Tim TV now.
I think it's cool.
It is a good name.
Yeah.
We hit it right under the bell again.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Aram talks a lot.
Apparently I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is pretty interesting, though. I think it's pretty neat to kind of see how everything, you know, just kind of morphs into the next, and how one person invents, the next person picks up the baton and goes on.
No,
to the
I think
next,
that's what
next.
I'm saying. This industry in particular, I think, is just fantastic. I mean, communications in general is awesome because it really, to me, it displays at least the way that culture has progressed, because it's how we've talked to each other. It's the way that we've talked to each other has definitely influences the culture that we're in.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, like I was talking about at the beginning, culture today.
I think positively and negatively.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people, they live what they see on their phone.
Yeah.
Which isn't life.
No, it's not life. And it can definitely be a detriment.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know,
this
technology has allowed us to experience other, you know, cultures from around the world.
Or find my kids.
A moment's notice. Or find your kids, yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
But guys, thank you so much for spending this time for us and letting us gab your ears off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have so much fun. We love you guys. We want to thank you so much again for just spending this time with us.
Yep, for being here with us and learning with us, because you know what? We learn about this stuff too, because we deal with tons of different antiques. So kind of picking out one thing to kind of focus on. And I think that the communication that we've been focused on last week and this week, and we'll probably next week.
I think we'll do another one for sure.
Another one for sure.
For sure.
That'll be like a surprise one. We won't even give you a teaser. Maybe no. Aram will put a teaser up on Instagram.
I'll probably do that.
Yeah. So you got to check Instagram to get the teaser for next week's topic.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, you never know, but there's so much to learn about it. So I really enjoy it. I think it's fun.
It is really cool. It is really, really cool.
It's nice to know where we came from, because hopefully this will inspire somebody else to pick up the baton and
propel
move
us
along
forward.
From where we are now.
Progress us forward. I definitely commend all the people in technology right now that are propelling us forward. And I think, you know, learning these things about history and about this history in particular is definitely essential.
I want that thing on Star Trek where Scotty went in and you went in and they like vaporized you to another place.
You want
a teleporter.
A teleporter.
I think that'll be the next thing.
You know, I think that would be awesome if it were possible.
Well, you don't know. It might be.
I don't know, but
I think it could be.
It could be. Well, guys, stay hip.
And humble.
Thank you.
Bye.